Hello and welcome back to the Church of Jesus Christ study session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts and this is Season 6, Episode 6 of this daily study podcast. Thank you so much for joining us once again today, and as you can hear from my voice, I'm still not completely there yet. I suppose I feel a little better, but my voice sounds a little worse than yesterday. I don't know, it's just a bit of a nasty bug. But feeling all right and very happy and excited to be doing and recording this episode today. We're going to continue with Mosiah 15, hopefully touch a bit on Mosiah 16, which then will leave us for Sunday to be able to finish off with Mosiah 17 and the reaction of all of what Abinadi taught. So we just talked about how Christ is both the Father and the Son, and I just really enjoyed that discussion. And we're going to move straight on now through to verse 9, where we learn a bit more about the sacrifice, the atonement of Jesus Christ, and how that relates to us and what blessing that brings to us. So in verse 9, it says about God breaking the bands of death and giving some power to make intercession for the children of men. Abinadi says, having ascended into heaven, having the bowels of mercy, being filled with compassion towards the children of men, standing betwixt them and justice, having broken the bands of death, taken upon himself their iniquities and their transgressions, having redeemed them and satisfied the demands of justice. What is wonderful about this is, you know, when we think of Abinadi and him standing in the court of King Noah, I think we automatically just think of him preaching repentance and telling them to change and, you know, having a hard message for them. But this is beautiful, hopeful words from Abinadi. The fact that there is hope, the fact that God himself will come and make it possible for all of them to be redeemed. So, you know, it's for those that are willing to change, a wonderful message. And that's, of course, where Alma has this, not revelation, but this kind of epiphany that he needs to change and that Abinadi is teaching truth. But of course, we'll get to that tomorrow. Anyway, verse 10, it says, and now I say unto you, who shall declare his generation? Behold, I say unto you that when his soul has been made an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. And now what say ye, and who shall be his seed? What follows is a few verses that have really changed my understanding of the atonement. That when the Saviour went and performed this great sacrifice that we cannot comprehend as mortals, one day I hope that we will be able to comprehend it, but at the moment the atonement is just such a powerful principle, but one that is so shrouded in the mysteries of God that, you know, we can definitely learn about it. We should spend our lives trying to learn more about it. If you are someone that is wants to find out more about it and have a collection of scriptures and things and quotes from prophets to study, The Infinite Atonement by Tad R. Callister is wonderful. It took me a while to get through it. It's quite big. It's so deep, but it's so powerful in the messages. And it's the kind of book that you can come back to in a couple of years' time and relearn something or learn something new because there's just so much in there. And it really did change my understanding of the atonement forever. But these three verses, I studied on my mission and it completely changed it from that point, to be fair. So Abinadi is saying that when Christ suffers, he will see his seed. And then he asks the question, who are his seed? Merrill J. Bateman summarizes this really wonderfully for us by saying, quote, Abinadi then identifies the Saviour's seed as the prophets and those that follow them. We'll read that in a moment. For many years, I thought of the Saviour's experience in the garden and on the cross as places where a large mass of sin was heaped upon him. Through the words of Alma, Abinadi, Isaiah, and other prophets, however, my view has changed. Instead of an impersonal mass of sin, there was a long line of people as Jesus felt our infirmities, bore our griefs, carried our sorrows, and was bruised for our iniquities. Close quote. Let's read further on into 11 and 12 and just understand this a bit more. It says, behold, I say unto you, whosoever has heard the words of the prophets, yea, all the holy prophets who have prophesied concerning the coming of the Lord, I say unto you that all those who have hearkened unto their words and believed that the Lord would redeem his people and have looked forward to that day for remission of their sins, I say unto you that these are his seed. or they are heirs of the kingdom of God. For these are they whose sins he has borne, these are they for whom he has died, to redeem from their transgressions, and now are they not his seed? Abinadi then goes on to talk about the prophets themselves in verse 13, but this kind of has given the point that I wanted to make, that the act of the atonement was not one huge, incomprehensible amount of sin and suffering that was just heaped upon the Saviour. Rather, the huge incomprehensible mass of sin and suffering came in the form of individuals, and the Saviour suffered it for each individual one by one, and was able and saw them. He actually saw them, and he felt their sufferings and pains and sins and difficulties they go through in life. But of course, when you sit and think about it, of course it had to be that way. Otherwise, how could the Saviour truly know how each individual feels? And when they turn to him for help and succour, he knows exactly how they feel. And it's not like those situations where someone who's even gone through the same thing as you are able to say, oh, I know how you feel. Because even in those situations, they don't. Each individual on this earth goes through, experiences, suffers the same incidents and events differently. I regularly point to this as an example, but when our son was diagnosed with leukemia, you have several people who come forward and say, I don't even know what to say. I don't know how you must be feeling, because I've never experienced it, which is, of course, understandable. But then even people who have been through that experience don't have the same emotions, the same suffering, the same worries or anxieties as someone else. Both myself and my wife have dealt with it in very different ways. And we're both here today. And actually, our son finishes treatment on Monday, which has been a long, almost 3.5 years. But we have had to go through different things and work on different things to try and get to this point. And of course, it still continues 5 years after this. He will still be under, not treatment, but under observation and checks and all these things like that. So it isn't quite done yet. And there's an added worry that he's not being given the things that got rid of the leukemia. And so may it come back. That is a worry that we have. But, you know, even those people that have been through this, they can to a degree understand how we feel, but they don't truly know or feel understand how we feel, because we are all unique individuals. The Saviour, though, is the one, the only one who does. And this is the meaning of the verses that the priest of King Noah talked about. How beautiful upon the mountains were their feet. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those that are still publishing peace. The Lord is the one that publishes peace, because he is able to redeem, to support and strengthen us through great difficulty, sorrows and trials. I'm just looking at the time. I'm going to stop there. There is so much more to cover in Mosiah 15 and 16. But to be fair, when we do Sunday school and things like that, there's not enough time to cover absolutely everything. But those were the main things I wanted to cover. We will go straight to Mosiah 17 tomorrow to kind of round off this experience. But thank you so much for studying with us so far. Keep subscribed to the podcast so that you receive the update each day. And until we meet again.